Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is a special retrospective Fox 11 News in Depth. Every year, we like to take a little time to look back at some of the stories we've done that warmed our hearts and inspired us. We salute the people and the organizations that continue to make a difference in our lives. We're inspired by those who chip in to help others. Let's look at a couple of those stories about two groups, Found LA and Revolution Carts, making all the difference to small business people. Jane Werwan, the founder of Dermatologica, took her success and decided to give back with Found LA.
I know that our business was built from small entrepreneurs, the local businesses like salons and spas. So when it came time for us to go through an acquisition of Dermalogica, which we did in 2015, we started up our own foundation. And our primary initiative is to help fund, coach, teach, mentor, and connect small businesses to each other, because I know that's the backbone of what can make another business like a manufacturer successful.
Catalina, your story is connected to her, right?
Correct.
How?
So I started participating in Found LA a few years back, and being part of Found LA has been absolutely game changer for Babes of Wellness, my business. It's not only provided me with invaluable business coaching and ongoing support, but also a network of incredible entrepreneurs from a diversity of different industries, as well as receiving funding.
Is it like people really don't understand just what goes in trying to be an entrepreneur and to try to build something? Your company is Babes of Wellness, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's in Compton?
Yes, so we are LA's first all-women's queer-inclusive gym in Compton. So what we do there is we've merged mindfulness with strength training to offer a holistic experience that conventional gyms just often lack.
But what did Found LA do to help you make that happen that you wouldn't have been able to do yourself?
So part of it was receiving funding, and that funding allowed us to invest in expensive equipment that helped us increase our class offerings, helped us also launch our new program for women 50 and over. And since the initiation of that program, we've been able to welcome hundreds of women who for the first time are experiencing a gym at the age of 50, 60, 70, and able to build community, able to understand what it means to invest in their health and wellness, able to understand and experience quality of life versus being, you know, rather on five or six different medications and in aches and pains, and now understanding how intergenerational wellness is actually something that they desire and that they crave.
Jane, I gather you're proud of her.
Yeah, Kat's a perfect example of a business with Babes of Wellness that we look to fund. Local business run by a woman, an immigrant, LGBTQ community, somebody who is the least likely to get funding from any other source.
How many people have you helped?
Right now, 22,000 small businesses in Los Angeles.
22,000?
Yeah, and 95% of them have stayed in business over the years that we've been going, and the success rate has been phenomenal, more than twice that if they aren't supported.
Also doing their part to help entrepreneurs is Revolution Carts. The company helps provide a livelihood for street vendors. For years, there's been a push-pull dynamic in the street vendor world. Small vendors offering their wares to the public have gotten pushback from local restaurants as well as local health departments, even as customers eagerly lined up for their wares. But Revolution Carts is helping to solve at least one of those problems. The carts they provide meet these rigorous health requirements and smooth the road for the vendors. And we're going to find out all about that, because with us right now is Matt Geller. He is the co-founder and CEO of the Southern California Mobile Food Vendors Association and the co-founder of Revolution Carts. And that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Does that all fit on your business card?
It does.
Welcome, Matt. Good to see you. And before we kind of start discussing the practicality of these carts, let's just take another look at these things. They're very unique. They're spectacular in many ways. And they look like classic cars. And I sort of wonder where this idea came from, and how did you kind of get into this space?
So the cart really was designed by my partner, Richard Gomez. He's been building food carts and food trucks for 25 years. And what he always said was he wants the vendors to have vend from something beautiful. He wants them to be proud of it. He wants it to be exciting. And he wants people to cross the street when they see them.
You know what's funny when I look at that? You know these little carts that navigate by themselves, have pizzas or whatever, and they go across the street, and you go, how's that not going to hit a car, right? Yeah. This looks like a little grown-up version of that.
Yeah. And his whole inspiration was L.A. It was classic car culture. It was street vendor culture. And he really wanted to bring it to a point where it would just be something beautiful for the vendors to have.
So what do these solve? I mean, they use carts now. What's the difference here?
Well, this one is permitted by the L.A. County Health Department, as well as another six other county health departments. And it's about $7,500. And we've gotten sponsors to buy some, and we've been able to give away over 50 carts.
The cart is a cart. It's got wheels. The cart they were using is a cart. It's got wheels. So what's fundamentally different?
Well, the big thing, this is a hot hold cart. So they prepackage the food in a commercial kitchen, or now, starting in November, a Miko's kitchen. And they're able to put it in prepackaged. But the thing is, the reason why it's so revolutionary is that it doesn't need a sink or refrigeration, because it's put in from the commercial kitchen into the cart and kept at 140 degrees.
Now, you mentioned companies that are supporting this and making it possible for vendors to have these for free. And I understand, what, Taco Bell is one of them?
Taco Bell has been our saving grace, our guardian angel. And they decided that they wanted to empower the vendors that inspire them. And they've already given away 20, and we've got another 26 to give away this summer.
And do you have any other companies that are lining up for this?
Rockstar Energy gave away the first five in February of 2022, and those vendors are still very successful, doing great, and have been kind of the inspiration for all the other vendors.
So tell me, you use the word success. What are some of the success stories?
Well, you know, one of our vendors, he was selling with no permit out of a cooler. He was harassed by a guy on the street. We got him. Actually, the Cheech Marin Museum actually sponsored him, got him a cart. And we got him working at Home Depot. And he went from making $100 a day to over $600 to $1,000 a day. And those are the stories. As soon as they have a permit, then they can be in front of bigger audiences, bigger crowds, and at places like Home Depot.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we look at the people who go the distance, whether literally pounding out the miles or by creating opportunity for others. And we find out what inspires them. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. We're talking about all the good in our lives and the things we're grateful for. On our show, one of the things we see and appreciate is the people with passion. We like to spotlight those who have motivation and a goal. One of those individuals is Ed Lynch, who chose to remember and honor his daughter, Michael, with Michael's Learning Place and Michael's Cafe.
Michael's Learning Place started almost 23 years ago, worked with special needs in an after-school program, adult day program. And then trying to find jobs for our participants was vitally important. And we opened up a commercial bakery in Hawthorne to do all our baked goods, coffee service, and then that turned into eventually opening up a cafe in Redondo Beach.
Now, you and I talked a little bit before the show.
Yes.
And the inspiration for Michael's Cafe is?
My daughter, Michael.
Yeah.
The reason I get up every morning, the reason I strive to do more every day.
Tell us about Michael.
Michael's an amazing young lady. She passed at 7.5 years old, taught me the lessons in life that nobody else has, no institution has, the importance of today, this moment, and to try to make a difference in my life. I am the man I am because of her. I'm the father I am because of her. And I'm driven to do more to honor her name and her legacy.
You have two boys.
I have two boys, 17 and 26.
But it's your daughter that's in your heart right now.
My boys will always be in my heart, but my daughter, it's daily for me.
And when you walk into that cafe, do you see her? Do you feel her?
I do, and you see the smile you see in my face now. It's a place of joy. It's a place of gratitude. It's a place that, because of her, it's there, and it'll be there long after me.
And let's talk about what it is.
Right.
It is a place where...
individuals with disabilities do the cooking, do the cleaning, do the serving, do the register, make your cappuccinos, do everything. This is about them.
And how does that work?
They started off basically in our bakery, and then we ran a small cafe out of Torrance Memorial Hospital, so they got a lot of the training there. And then it turned into creating more opportunities. This opportunity presented itself. We gave them the training to do it. There are supports in the kitchen for if they do need help. But if you were to come into the kitchen, Kaylin is running the sandwich station and the salad station, and Dominic's running the panini station, and Max is handling the dishes and the clearing of dishes in the restaurant. It's about them. And it's about creating that awareness, capable and able. And I think for me, the one story that epitomizes the cafe is the first opening weekend, there was a young family sitting at a table, husband, wife, and their four-year-old daughter. And after talking about the basic stuff of food and how'd you find out, the mom looks up to me and says, I hope one day she can work here.
Right.
So it's giving families hope and showing society that just because you have a disability doesn't mean you are not capable and able to do anything you set your mind to.
I suspect there are customers that come in that know this, but then there are customers that come in that may not. So what are the customer reactions like?
It's been nothing but positive, I could tell you, Hal. It's families with children with disabilities are coming in just to see what it's like. But then families are coming in, and the stories are all over the cafe. There are boards up talking about what we do, why we do it, and they're inspired by it. The cafe is not just a place for the story. It's really the food is delicious as well, right? All the components of a successful restaurant are there, but ours comes with a very impactful story.
So you got very special people working in this very special place.
Yes.
And what's it like for them?
Well, you know, for any of us to have a job, right? So if we don't even separate somebody with a disability from somebody that doesn't have one, how do we feel when we go to a job? We feel a sense of pride, accomplishment. We feel like a part of a team and a family, getting a paycheck, being able to pay some of your own bills on your own. That's vitally important to everybody. So I would say when it comes to the cafe, you know, and questions like, what is it like for them and what is it like for us? Leave the label at the door, right? They're individuals. It's Dominic first and foremost. It's Kaylin first and foremost. It's Kate. It's not the person with the disability.
Why is a place like this needed in your mind?
To create awareness. So maybe if you came in and you're a business owner and you're looking to hire, maybe you'll think twice about hiring somebody with a disability. Capable and able, want a job just like we want a job. Want to do something that brings them joy to want to show up for work.
What a moving story. Summer Willis found perhaps a peculiar motivation for her accomplishments. She was sexually assaulted in college 10 years ago. She didn't tell anyone. Now she's taking that private pain and is finding strength through strides and support she never expected.
You're running 29 marathons, and I want to know why, but I also want to thank you for speaking because I know how difficult this must be, especially if you've just started to come out. So talk a little bit about this marathon you're doing.
Yeah. Yes. So I decided this year when I turned 29 that I was done running away from my trauma and I was going to face it head on with strength and resilience and try to be the woman that I believed was taken away from me a decade ago. So I've run from coast to coast, connecting with survivors of sexual assault and so many amazing people. And I've just learned so much about resilience. And I just want all survivors to know that they're not alone. I believed I was, but I've just been welcomed with open arms by so many people and so much love this year, which has been amazing. And I've also learned the power of resilience because I got last place in my first two marathons. I was not fast. I couldn't run a mile when I started this journey. But last weekend in Sacramento, I got second in my 104.8 miler, four marathons in a day and a half. And so I'm getting stronger mentally and physically, and I've just been so blessed by this year and only two more runs left.
I think it's remarkable. I'm guessing 29 marathons because you're 29 years old. And if so, what is the goal?
It is. The goal was to finish, and the goal is, I'll run Long Beach for number 28 this weekend and then Chicago's 29, and I can finally turn 30. But I've also been really lucky to get over $29,000 of donations. And I really want to tell people in the LA community to donate my lucky number, $29, to the UCLA Rape Treatment Center, because the average person takes $112,000 to try to heal from rape and sexual assault. And you get all of these amazing resources for your community. So it's really great that you'll have that there.
Inspiring, right? Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we look at some surprising good news for our kids and a class that involves middle schoolers in a project that could have far-reaching impacts from them and for people in their community. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. When many of us think of things we're grateful for, our kids are at the top of the list. And this year, we looked at a number of ways our youth are being served and being of service. For example, what would happen if we stopped reacting to absenteeism and truancy with punishment and instead incentivized learning? That's what Learnville does.
Learnville is an application in which we provide access to education across the board, especially to those youth most in need. And we provide masterful education. So we partner with the leaders of said industries, like financial literacy. Operation Hope is our partner for that. So we ensure that our education is premium, top tier.
So what's it trying to do?
Educate our future leaders and change makers.
But not in a traditional way.
Not in a traditional way. We are meeting Generation Alpha, which happens to be the largest generation to ever exist, at over 2 billion population anticipated. And we are delivering them information in bite-sized pieces in TikTok-like form.
Isn't it amazing how many things we try to get into TikTok-like form? But, you know, in a way, isn't this something that would help inner-city kids? Because it is kind of targeted that way, to almost learn about doing a job.
Correct. We're incentivizing them first by giving them the power to learn and earn points to cash in for digital gift cards for some of their favorite brands. And this empowers them, so if their basic needs are not met, they're able to go study, do these classes, and go get food at the grocery store. Or take these classes, get enough points, and go get some sneakers that they need. And so this is a way that it boosts their self-esteem, gives them some sort of empowerment, and also we're giving them tools so that they can be overall healthier in our communities.
Sounds like a pretty good concept. How well is it working?
It's working amazingly. Yes. We have increased attendance. We have increased the test scores in schools and decreased the need for mental health services.
Where is this being done right now?
Long Beach, Los Angeles, various schools, 7 schools in LA County, Atlanta, and Miami.
And the age group?
High school, 14. Well, some are over 18, so 14 to 20 at this time.
How are you attempting to expand?
Well, different languages. We'd like to get to different languages, meeting with various government agencies and seeing how we can make this across the board a U.S. platform.
You recently took some kids to a thing called VCon.
VCon
here
with
in
Gary
LA.
Yes.
What is VCon?
VCon is my favorite tech, sports, marketing, art convention, and Gary has taken the best parts of every convention that he's been to, from ComplexCon to NFT NYC to you
Comic-Con.
Name it, Comic-Con, and bringing it together so it's engaging, it's people-to-people, it's games, it's learning, it's panels, and it's experts speaking to everyone. And
what are kids getting out of it?
So they got to have an in-real-life experience where they got to speak to the people that they saw on stage. They got to learn about Web3 technology. They got to learn about marketing. They got to learn about how do you monetize social media. Social media is taking over, especially in this next generation that has lived their entire life on social media, right? And with technology. And so this is a way that they can learn how to make money from it versus, oh, I just need likes and followers. And so now they're starting their own businesses, and it's sparking interest in career paths that they never knew existed had they not gone.
And an experiment in the Fullerton School District has brought a class of middle schoolers some valuable skills. The woodworking class at Nicholas Junior High School took on the challenging project of helping to build a tiny home, a house that a local family struggling with housing insecurity will get to use. Two members of that school district explained the program. Whose idea was this? I mean, how did this project get started?
It actually came out after the kind of the COVID slumber in 2022. Our district wanted to get back to innovating, and our department got together with myself and a few colleagues, and we hashed out some ideas, and we pitched the superintendent along with Jeremy and our other assistant superintendent of human resources. And we pitched this idea of the tiny home, one, because we still had a wood shop in our class or here in our school district, and we knew that the Woodshop 2 class could handle this, and as well as knowing that the students can help somebody in our community. So that's kind of how it all began.
I'm going to date myself here, but when I was in woodworking class a long time ago on a planet far, far away, I remember making little birds out of wood, and that was our project. Nothing like this. I mean, what's the plan for this house? What's the hardest part that the kids have to deal with when dealing with this?
There were a number of things. We got the plans actually from a young lady named Anna White, who has a wonderful blog online. She lives up in Alaska, and she makes tiny homes and furniture. And we found her plans, and they looked amazing. And our architect said, yeah, these are really good. We're going to make a couple little tweaks for California, but these are great. We can build on this. So really, the students... we're mentored constantly, which was great. We have a company called New Dimensions that helped us out a lot. You know, so things like the high up roof, because we are on a trailer, you know, you're 12 feet in the air working on the roof. So instead of doing that, the adults would do that while the students would have an area down below where they were learning roofing skills instead. So it was really neat to see the students go through each piece. The teacher, Mr. Vidalis, who was just awarded top middle school teacher in the state this year because of this project, they all built these little tiny 1/12 models. So they all knew, okay, this is how I'm going to frame a window. This is what the walls are going to look like. So each of them had to build sort of half model before they even got started here on the trailer itself.
Those kids and their instructors, along with the administrators, are all on the right track. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News in Depth right after this break. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next time. And before we go, here's another story we enjoyed bringing you this year, the delightful Old Town Music Hall in El Segundo.